All right, we are on lesson five, page one. Lesson five, page one. Anybody need a page one? Okay. Two. Okay, there's two here. And one, two. Two, one for you, one for Wink.
Okay, thank you.
You have one, Harold? Okay, page one, here we go.
The best day of the year, I love the year.
Where were you? Oh, we had a great message. All right, here we go. We're on lesson five. And last time we covered, we're talking about the operation of the Holy Spirit in the regeneration of man because of his absolute depravity. And we talked about if we measure things by God's standards, we're so depraved, there is no possibility that he is able or even wants to do anything to please a holy God. And we looked at some verses for that. And then to make matters worse, the depraved man has shut not just his eyes, but he has shut his ears to God's word. We looked at that. And B, sinful man is caught in the snare of the devil as well. That's his spiritual father. We looked at 2 Timothy 2:25, 26, and we looked at John 8:44, where Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil, and it is his will you want to do." And then number two is where we ended. If this were not the case, we would have no need to be born again and made a new creature. And we use 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says he made him to be sin. No, that isn't 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians. You got it?
Yeah, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Oh, yeah. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So you have to be a new creature and born again. New material is A. If the sinner wasn't totally corrupt, he would submit to Christ without any supernatural operation of the Spirit. Now imagine that. Just imagine, okay, let me ask you, is there an example anywhere in Scripture of a man who submitted to the Spirit of God?
Willingly, you mean?
Mm. Without the influence of the Holy Spirit.
No, not one,
he says. How about Adam and Eve in 1 and 2? They were neutral, right? Right? They did. They submitted. They walked with him in the cool of the day. Not for long. You know, somebody has done the math, or somebody has, and I don't like to.
But it's pain. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but I don't like to do the math, but some people have suggested that Adam and Eve were in the garden for about 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
But let me just finish.
There's no math you can do, really.
I know. And let me finish. And where they get it from, I don't know, so I'm qualifying all of this. But the point is, however long they were there, it doesn't matter how long they were there, they of their own accord, it wasn't God that did it, it wasn't, the devil may have done a little temptation, but they had the ability to say no, and they didn't. And that was the beginning of our depraved nature and the beginning of man's of their depraved nature and all of man's depraved nature.
But they were neutral until that point.
Until that point,
we're,
yeah.
We're
certainly not neutral. You come
out of the womb.
Why? Why?
We're reverse.
What was it? What's that guy, Bonnie Volkman? We're vipers in diapers.
Yeah,
right?
That little joint in your arm is a viper in a diaper. He's got five kids.
And he's speaking spiritually, of course. All right, B, but fallen man is so completely sunk in corruption that he has not the faintest real desire for God, but is filled with hostility against him. Who knows Romans 8:7? Romans 8:7. That's a simple one. Anne Marie.
Romans 8:7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God.
Everybody see that? We're born hostile to God. And I want to say something. There's a lot of people I've talked to through the years that grew up in good Christian families. And what reminded me is seeing Andrew come in with Paxton. They grow up in good Christian families, and they go to church. They read the Bible. But we must never forget, until that there comes a point in time when they realize they're a sinner in need of a Savior, even though they do those actions, okay, they still have a hostility towards God. Every tear has a hostility towards God, every single one of them. As a matter of fact, the most hostile people are God's people, or people that claim God, I should say. Why? Because they take God's word and they defame it and they spread that defamation everywhere they can. And they spread it. That's the other reason. Matter of fact, in one of the texts it says there were people who were doing that. He said they're preaching in some of the houses. They had house churches back then. That they're preaching in some of the houses that the resurrection has already come. And so, and he says their mouths must be stopped. In other words, somebody must contend for the faith against those heretics that were teaching those churches that. How about 1 Corinthians 2:14? Do we know that one pretty good? Mm-hmm. Jer?
For the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned.
I want to go back to that one part where it says he is not able to understand them. Although the law of God is written on their heart, that is, they understand how to offend God, they have no clue as to how to please God. That's an important distinction. They know how to offend God, but they don't know how to please God. And that text and the one in Romans just sort of backs that up. Hey, come on in. You need a page one? You need a page one, Liz?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's why Scripture teaches us that before Christ, we were without God and were dead in trespasses and sins. Colossians 2:13. Joe. Colossians 2:13. Yeah.
And you who are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses.
Before we were saved, before God saved you, you were dead in trespasses and sins. And what does that mean, dead in trespasses and sins? What does that mean? First of all, what does the word mean, dead? How can you be dead if you're still breathing air? How can that be?
You're unsaved.
Huh?
You're unsaved.
Right. But what does it mean that you're dead? You're separated from God. You're separated from the spiritual things of God. You don't get them, right? And it says you were dead in trespasses and sins. And what does that mean? Dead in trespasses and sins. Obviously doesn't mean that you're physically dead, right? It means that you're spiritually dead. And how many deaths are there? Are we not dead in sin? Are we not dead to sin? If you're saved, right? We're dead to sin. Before that, we're dead in sin, right? Is there not a physical death, right? So death has many things, but ultimately death in the Bible means this. It means separation from God, period. And it also means, for the lost, it means that they will experience a second death. And the second death is worse than the death that they had in their physical body, because the second death is referring to the white throne judgment of Revelation 20:13 through 15. That death is the second death. That is, you will die forever, in the sense being you will live, you will be conscious, you will suffer, you will know pain, you will have a consciousness, you will have an understanding of things, you will be gnashing your teeth for all times. And by the way, your teeth and the rest of you is imperishable, so you won't ever perish. You'll remain in that state for all eternity. And I got to tell you something, that cannot be impressed enough. If our Lord Jesus thought more to talk about hell than he did about heaven, there's a good reason why. We, as his ambassadors, who carry that cross, we need to make sure that the world knows that hell is a real place, and it's a state that never deceases. It will always exist. The pain and everything that goes on in there will be there constant, and not more than you can handle, but just the right amount. That judgment, God's judgment of both the saint and the sinner, is perfect.
If you transgress one law of God, then you're a sinner, and then you are separated from God forever, just by the law.
You're separated unless.
Well, unless,
yeah,
of course.
Right. One sin. Wow.
It's described 139 times throughout the Bible.
Boy, that tells you something, doesn't it? And also the Greek words, Sheol and Hades. One speaks of the grave and one speaks of hell. Hades is hell and Sheol is the grave. And so when it speaks of those two terms, depending on which one he uses, okay, it may have an eternal implication or a temporary implication. Because your death, by the way, and that's another thing, God doesn't look at death the same way we do. We look at death as a cessation of life. You know, there's going to be no more golf. There's going to be no more television. There's going to be no more chocolates. There's going to be no more nothing. And none of that is true. Well, I don't know about the golf and the chocolate. But. Huh? I know. But I will tell you this, you will have some fruit that will exceed your wildest expectations about chocolate. And you will have you won't have any birdies, but you'll have some horses you might like, and they might take you to places you can't even imagine. Let you know, eye is not seen nor ear heard. And that includes, God knows about golf. Last time I played golf, I thanked him for inventing the game. He told some Scots, put it in some Scotsman's ear, and that's how we have golf today. I thanked him for that. He knows about golf. He knows how much we love it. And I'm sure that there are things that he has prepared for those who love him, things that will take all the pleasures we have here and consider them as rubbish. I believe that.
We'll plant some great golf courses.
Yeah. I assure you, Vinny, there's more to the eternal realm than trying to hit a ball in a hole. Actually, if you want to get technical about it, golf, basketball, baseball, football, any game that has a ball in it comes from hunting. It's from taking and trying to hit the target. And that's where it comes from. It all evolved from that. So we're not going to have to hunt in heaven. I think we'll have everything laid out for us pretty well.
I just told him... I said, where's Vinny? Oh, he's been playing golf for 10 years.
Yeah. Well, we gotta be careful what we do. All right. Ephesians 2:1, who knows that one? You do? Okay. I wanted to hear that. Yeah. I love that kid. Ephesians 2:1. Carolyn. Okay, here we see it again, that fallen man had sunk, and if God didn't come and call him out, that he would never come, and we are without God. And how about Ephesians 2:19, Andrew?
Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God.
I want to tell you, if you take 2:19 and you go first to 212, and then you connect 212 to 219, that shows you the change. Yeah, that shows you they're wrong too. Yeah, yeah. All right. Three. But God became incarnate so that his people would have a life, and the only reason why any of Adam's children savingly believe, and I use that word savingly believe for a reason, in Christ as their Lord and Master is because God elected them out of the world in every generation. Is that true?
Yes.
All right. John 1:12 and 13. Liz.